The Father's Day scripture today is a special one, as it is a Father's Day 2023. The scripture reading today is Proverbs 23:22-25 and Proverbs 6:20-22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. But the truth, and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, insight as well. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. The word of God for the people of God. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak on a special day for me. It's Father's Day, but it's also my dad's 30th anniversary of his death. So I have a lot to share with you, and some of it's going to be biographical. It's going to be a little bit of everything. In the front of you, you'll see pictures of Dad, some of his woodworking, great stories about some of the woodworking that Dad did and Kirk did, which is not quite what Dad did. But I hope you'll enjoy, what you hear and get the message. Some of us have fathers who we hope to model ourselves after. Those fathers loved to play outside with us, helped us with our homework, or made those classic dad jokes. On the contrary, some of us have relationships with our father that have been a source of great pain or sadness or emptiness. We all have a story and an understanding of what a father is. This is mine. Edward Joseph Butke, born in 1920 in Mount Carmel, in the coal region of Pennsylvania. He quit school in the sixth grade to work in the coal mines to allow his younger niece, Marguerite Stastel, to finish school. In the coal mines, beer became like water, even to a youngster. Marguerite would later get her doctorate in English literature. She then went into the convent. She would choose the name Sister Pacelli. She would become the Sister Pacelli, a Bernardine Franciscan nun, dean of women at Alvernia College in Reading, Pennsylvania. When we got married, Kirk's mother, Simone, was so excited that they now had a nun in their family, and they were very strong Roman Catholics. As growing up with Sister Pacelli, eating with us at Eastern holidays, it was fun to see her through my child's eyes, taking off bits and bobs of her habit, that they may get stained, her wimple, her coif, her bandeau, her veil. And you have not lived until you have seen a nun in pajamas. And her favorite Beatle was George Harrison. Remember, she taught at a college. Now back to my dad. My dad's family were staunch Roman Catholics. My grandmother, Anna Merkovich, made the vestments for all the priests in Mount Carmel on her treadle sewing machine, a wonderful childhood memory. She wore an outfit as she sewed like that of an old-fashioned poker dealer, a sleeve garter on her arms, and a green see-through visor, sewing away on that treadle sewing machine. Please remember this memory. Dad was married, but divorced in 1945, and was excommunicated from the Catholic Church, which means he could not participate in the Eucharist. He was so hurt, this was the end of his spiritual and church life. He married my mother Martha, a Presbyterian, in 1953. He was a civil service airplane mechanic at Olmsted Air Force Base in Middletown, Pennsylvania. He was a small man, so he was the one who would climb into the airplane wings and fix them, along with other mechanical problems. He told Kurt that he could move an entire airplane with a dolly. I was born in 1955. We lived in a small subdivision in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. These days were magical. A small neighborhood, lots of children to play with, sledding, kickball, ice skating, and y'all will remember this, yelling, "Car!" when you're riding and playing in the middle of the road when a car was coming. A fun place to grow up for Dad and me. He would stand on our roof and have hose battles with neighbors' dads next door when they would get on their roofs. Everyone was young and happy. The base closed down in 1966, and we moved to Warner Robins, Georgia. Things changed between us. I was now in the sixth grade and changing. We worked on projects for school together. He made a lot of them himself. Nothing I ever did was right. He was easy to voice it. The older you get, the dumber you get. But the only place we bonded was in that garage, his one-car garage. He was a whiz at fixing cars. He worked on everyone's car on the weekends. All the men from the neighborhood, friends from Pennsylvania, and even our ministers came to get their cars fixed from Ed. I was the one he would call on to pump the brakes, grab the tools, and hold pieces of the car while he installed them. In 1969, he went to Cameron Bay in Vietnam for 6 months to fix Jeeps and equipment. He wrote me letters and sent me a reel-to-reel tape recorder. He made the box to mail it in. I still have it with Mom and Dad's funeral information in it. The day he came home from a 6 months tour, he had grown a mustache, and I got emotional laryngitis. I could not speak at all. I did love him. He taught me to drive his Ford Fairlane, and then when I was 15, don't judge me, he bought me a 1966 candy apple red Ford Mustang Fastback. Dream speed, yes. And he also changed the gear shift to an old-fashioned glass door knob. Not because I was the only child, but remember about that Ford Fastback, that Mustang. Not because I was the only child, but because he wanted help driving my mother to church and shopping and hair appointments. Mom did not drive, which is a story for a whole other day. In college, I totaled my Mustang in Macon. Dad gave me the choice of fixing up the Mustang or getting a new car. I chose a new car. Yes. I chose a Pinto. Oh. Yes, the ones that exploded if they were back-ended where the gas tank was. I could kick myself today. Life went on. Kurt and I married in 1983 at the Kennedy Chapel in Carrollton. We had to have a consecrated altar for the Catholic service. Monsignor Reagan, if y'all are familiar with him, helped in the service, and Father Bob from Hiawassee was also there. Sister Bocelli came down from Pennsylvania and read scripture. Dad loved Kurt. They had so much in common. Tools, woodworking, my dad called it making sawdust, cars, and beer. As a matter of fact, these are his coveralls he wore in the garage. So you can tell what a small little fella he was. I found the cleanest pair I could. He was so glad we married, as now he had someone to leave all his tools to when he passed away. Ted was also a great cook. He would make huge pots of stuffed cabbages, which is an ordeal. He also baked cookies and pies and cakes. 1992. This was the year he refurbished a treadle sewing machine for me, the machine and the wood cabinet for me, like his mother's, my grandma. I wrote him a 2-page letter about what it meant to me and about our relationship, that I loved him and I was certain he loved me in his own way. I don't remember him ever saying those words. I never got to talk to him about that letter. Mom called and said it meant the world to him, but he never talked to me about it. Remember this part. 1993, my dad had a heart attack. It appears Dad was scared to tell us of his symptoms for a long time. He did not want to scare us. He had to have a heart catheterization. Apparently, his heart was in such bad shape, the bottom of his heart was inactive. It could not handle the procedure or the dye. He went into a coma. We never got to say goodbye. It was a procedure. My goodness, who would have thought this would be our closure? For 3 days, he laid in a coma and received visitors, his buddies, his work friends, my friends, male neighbors, our minister. Big burly men went into that room to see my dad and came out sobbing. My dad was small, but he was one of a kind. Ed passed away on December 9th, 1993, the day before Kurt's birthday. My dad was 73 and I was 38. I went to see him after they cleaned him up. I needed this time with him. He looked like he did when he fell asleep in his recliner, but this time no pain that we knew of. Now, when Dad had the heart attack and would be in the hospital, he decided to buy 2 items. One was a Mad magazine from October 1993. Yes, it's the original. I got it on eBay. And this one, some of you guys in this room are going to totally understand it, and I know who you are. My dad bought a boomerang. Personally, I think he was going to begin making boomerangs and was going to use this as a template. Edward Budke's funeral, standing room only at the funeral home chapel. I performed the eulogy. Kurt was not sure if he could speak, but he did a beautiful tribute to his father in law and in love. I began sharing the boomerang and the Mad magazine. It did get a laugh. Everyone knew there how Dad was. Did I ever mention he loved beer? Yes, he did. I then asked everyone to share a memory with someone sitting next to him with an Ed story. Hold on to your seats. An older man from Warner Robins, who was a friend of my dad's, sat next to my friend, Laura Gail McCord, a friend of mine from Bowden. Remember, this is in Warner Robins, where this was held. This was the old man's story. This story went like this. I went with Ed to Alabama a few years ago to buy some cedar planks to build a planting bench for a friend of his daughter's. We had the best time buying those planks, those cedar planks, for this project. Laura Gail was sitting next to him. Her response was, I was the person that he built the cedar planting bench for. I am the friend of Diane's. He told me when he made that bench for me that that cedar bench would outlive him, and it has. Now, with this not a supernatural occurrence, what are the odds of 250 people being seated gathered together, and these two people would be seated next to each other, sharing their story about Ed? The story's end. After the service, all these men, Dad's friends, came up to me and hugged me, and Dad told me that Dad talked about me all the time. They said he thought I hung the moon and how proud he was of me. I never knew. Mom and I went through his wallet. As teachers, every year, we get individual pictures for free, like the kids get. He had 7 pictures of me in his wallet. Instead of throwing away the older pictures, he added to them in his wallet. He loved me. I never knew. He used actions and not words. He loved me. To this day, I cannot listen to Reba McEntire's song, "The Greatest Man I Never Knew." Now, let's see if you remember what I asked you to remember. In his urn, we placed his wallet, because he was cremated, with all my pictures, the letter I wrote to him about the sewing machine and my love for him, and his dentures. He would not go anywhere without them. Last but not least, Kurt and I cleaned out his garage and the workspace and his tin building. In the tin building, this is what we found. You're gonna be shocked. The grill. To my Mustang was in his tin building. It's now hanging in our garage. For some of us, it's too late to share words of love with our biological fathers. It is too late to have closure or even say goodbye or I love you. But in the end, we are loved. Take the time today to be thankful for our earthly fathers, in life or in death. We are loved, but may never know it in our lives. Or like me, I found out later. But remember this, our spiritual father never messes up. He knows all the things we need. He always cares for us. He loves us. Even if our fathers in life are not perfect, our Father God is. He asks us to come to him in prayer and thanksgiving and grace. He will forever love us and be present with us. My story for you about my dad has ended. I know he loved me with all his heart. Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for caring for us. Your promises are true. We know you will always provide. Thank you for being our Father. Help us to trust in your word. Thank you for all your love. We love you, God. In Jesus' name.